This podcast is brought to you by Purposefully Different Productions and is proudly sponsored by Little Dish, makers of delicious fresh meals for kids that are an absolute lifesaver on busy days. I love these meals because they are different to other kids' meals out there. They include a variety of ingredients, lots of textures, and are made with little taste buds in mind. Before we get started on today's episode, here's a word from our friend Giovanna Fletcher.
At Little Dish, we've spent years perfecting delicious, healthy, fresh meals guaranteed to be eaten by kids. Except when you sprinkle cheese on top instead of letting them do it, or if the Little Dish is served on the red plate or the yellow plate or the blue plates, or when you talk over them, or when they can't wear their Ranger antlers because it's summer and they're in the loft, or on Mondays or on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and potentially even Sundays. Good luck and Godspeed. Little Dish. Healthy food kids love. Find us in the chilled aisle.
Hello and welcome back to How to Feed with me, Charlotte Sterling-Reed, the parenting podcast that's here to offer reassurance, confidence and practical advice on feeding your baby, toddler and the whole family. In today's episode, I'm joined by someone whose work I've admired for a long time and who's played a huge role in making mealtimes easier and more nutritious for so many families. She's a mum, a businesswoman and her journey and approach to food is the inspiration behind the brand Little Dish. She's normally found working hard behind the scenes and you may not have heard of her just yet. But she's a true inspiration to me for all she's achieved. And today, Hilary Graves, the founder behind the brand Little Dish, joins me here on the podcast. So thank you so, so much for coming to speak to me today, Hilary.
Lovely to see you.
So a lot of people may have heard about Little Dish, but they may not know about you. But actually, I'm very excited to have you here because I think you have a really fascinating story to tell. So I'm excited to delve into it a little bit with you.
Little Dish, I think, is a brand that what we want consumers to know is that it was set up by a mother who was trying to feed her children something like she made in her own kitchen. And so there is something, I think, quite authentic behind the brand. It doesn't really matter who that mother is. Now we're a team of parents, and all of us together would never put anything on the shelf that we wouldn't feed to our own children. But I made all of my own baby food. I love to cook. I love food. And that was one of my favorite parts, actually, about having kids was the weaning part and introducing to various foods. And what I was really surprised about was on those times where you weren't cooking and you went into the supermarket, the choices were really limited and actually really grim. So you would, you know, I went into the baby aisle and there were jars and at that time pouches and but the shelf life was 2 years, so you know, older than your baby. And you know, for an apple puree here or there, it was kind of okay, but when we got into the protein like the fish or the meat, it just felt really unappealing. And so I felt like there was a gap in the market for something fresh, like mothers make in their own kitchens, you know, and why couldn't you buy something like that in the supermarket?
I love that. It's amazing. And so what did you do at the time? So at the time when was everything you're cooking from scratch?
Most of it. Or I would do veggie. You know, I would do, like, I think that at the time, I never really bought the pouches so much, but there was at the time, I think even a brand that isn't even around anymore, but maybe it was called Plum or something. And it was like a little pot and it had like chickpeas. Like for some reason, the vegetarian ones didn't bother me so much, but I could never, like the beef and the fish and the chicken, all of that I made myself. I just felt, you know, the whole premise of Little Dish is that meals belong in the fridge and not in the cupboard.
And so what did you do as a result? I mean, you obviously had this idea. So many of us, maybe we have the inspirational idea, but it doesn't necessarily go anywhere. What did you do? How did you then turn that idea into an actual thing? Because I think that's the bit that a lot of people struggle with. And that's what's fascinating.
Well, so first of all, I was talking to a lot of friends and family who felt the same way, you know, and it was kind of, well, why wouldn't there be something fresh in the supermarkets? You know, how hard could that be? And so at first it was around really just talking to friends, kind of really informal focus groups around, you know, if you had something, if you could buy something in the supermarket that was fresh, 100% natural ingredients, you know, from the refrigerator, would you buy it? And everybody was like, yeah, great. Yeah. I would love to buy it. Yeah. And so we felt like at that particular time, you know, that there was something there that didn't exist that people would want to buy if it was in the supermarket.
Almost a no-brainer, like, to create this.
I mean, I mean, it's funny that you say that because at the time you do think, well, how hard could this be? And I guess in hindsight, you're sort of like, well, maybe it wasn't as straightforward. But at the time, it did seem very straightforward around, look, there's a gap in the market. Parents want to buy this.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. Yeah. And, you know, it seems like it would be a great idea.
How did you then get into actually creating this?
Well, first it was the recipes. Mm-hmm. And then the brand, you know, my background is marketing, and we actually worked with an agency who helped us come up with the name. Okay. And we didn't have any money.
Yeah.
And so we went to the agent. It's one of these things, I think, where you kind of have to spin it on both sides, because we knew we wanted to sell it in the supermarkets. Mm. But in order to sell it into the supermarkets, you need to have a product.
Mm.
But then in order to have a product, you need to find sort of a big manufacturing kitchen where you can make the product.
Yeah.
But in order to get the manufacturer, you need to have the supermarket listing. So, you know, you're kind of saying to the supermarket, yes, we definitely have this all, you know, set up. And then you're saying to the manufacturing kitchen, we definitely have interest from the supermarket. So you're sort of playing those two sides of it. But then I think really importantly, I mean, we all know how, you know, a brand would be the way that would make this successful. Mm. So at the time in the chilled aisle, it was a lot of own label. Mm-hmm. And I felt like if you go into the baby aisle, it's like 95% brands, right? And mothers, I think, you know, connect with brands.
Yeah.
And you know, we felt that a brand was – it needed to be a brand that people could connect with and to trust.
And trust.
And so we found this really lovely marketing agency. We didn't have any money, and we just sort of said, look, will you work with us kind of on spec until we can, you know, put something together, and we'll pay you later. And they did. They loved the idea.
Incredible.
And,
that is incredible. It must have been really hard at the time, like juggling, you know, one, two young children whilst doing this, because I mean, starting up a business is hard at the best of times. And as we all know, parenting is probably not most of our best times on some level.
Yeah.
You know, it's really challenging. So is that what you did, literally?
Well, I have, you know, I had one, which is, as we know, different than having two.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, help from family. And so, you know, I don't think it would be unrealistic, I think, to say that you can do it with completely by yourself with no help. I had a very supportive husband. We had, you know, family who would help us, and we had some childcare. And so that all sort of helped.
Yeah. Helped massively.
Yeah.
And in terms of the recipes you were developing, were they shaped by, you know, what you were feeding?
Yes. And also I think very, you know, so I'm obviously American, but very English recipes. Mm. I think, you know, what I was learning as I was making my ice cubes and put, you know, basically doing my batch cooking and putting them in the ice cube trays, I was doing things like cottage pie and fish pie and really that sort of nursery food. And I think when I was talking, especially to my English friends, that, you know, that's really what they were feeding their kids.
Yeah.
And so I felt like it needed to be something that would really resonate with that sort of home-cooked meal that English families were serving.
Yeah.
And so I think our first five recipes were cottage pie, fish pie. We had a pasta bolognese.
Yeah.
We did a mild chicken curry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we had a vegetarian pasta as well.
Mm. So similar meals to what you've still got now.
Yeah, I mean, our best sellers, really.
Yeah, and why do you think that is? Why have they stood the test of time? Like, they worked then. I mean, this is it was 20 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah. I think because they're just traditional meals that families fall back on, right? And they're also a little bit complicated to make, you know, to make a fish pie, to make a cottage pie. And we didn't add any salt or any sugar, and it was 100% natural ingredients. And so I think there was sort of a value around, you know, that kind of perfectly home-cooked meal that was fresh, that was healthy, 100% natural ingredients.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. I think it's amazing that those are the ones that you created then and they're still alive today. It's amazing. So your kids are a lot older now.
Yes.
And what, I mean, first of all, are they still big Little Dish fans?
You know, I have it in my fridge right now as we speak. They're 18 and 16 and they eat two portions. Mm-hmm. I still buy Little Dish because, I mean, we eat Little Dish in the office. It's really delicious. Mm. I mean, as you know,
yeah,
you help us with the recipes. And so for me, I don't, you know, certainly, and I love to cook. We definitely have evenings where, you know, I'm working late or you can't cook or someone's got football or what have you. So I still use them to this day. Yeah.
And do they have favorites?
Definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So my older loves spaghetti and meatballs.
Okay.
In fact, when we first launched it, I think we called it Monty's Spaghetti and Meatballs.
Oh.
And then my younger one loves the fish pie.
Okay. My two love the fish pie. They yes. absolutely love it. And they love the lasagna as well.
Yes, they do.
But yeah, fish yes. pie has always been a real favorite. And it's a really lovely way of, you yeah. know, like you say, some of these recipes are quite complicated.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why I loved working on lasagna because
yeah.
you know, lasagna is such a hearty meal that you kind of strive to create.
Yes.
But actually,
yes.
it is a complicated recipe. It does take a long time. And for, you know, if you're a working parent, you get home at the end of the day, you know, just the idea of being able to go, you've got a lasagna
yes.
that is a hearty meal, that is really delicious. It's ready in minutes. It's
yeah.
such a savior, isn't it? It really, really is. And I think, can I ask as well, you know, obviously being a working mum myself and you
yep.
being a working mum, is that a really big part of why you did it? Is it like the convenience thing, you know, for mums to go, you don't have to do it 7 days a week, every single week? Is that a big part of why you created Little Dish?
I mean, I think in the end, it's become one of the reasons that people buy us for sure. But I think the health piece was really what drove it in the beginning.
Okay.
And it was really the fact that there were so many things in the supermarket that were the ingredients, you know, unnatural ingredients, high levels of salt, high levels of sugar. Mm. And I really felt that why wouldn't you have something that was healthier? Mm. I think, you know, if you cut to 20 years later, I think ingredients decks are cleaner. Mm. And I think that there are more healthy options. But at the time, there really wasn't. Mm. And at the same time, so this was sort of 2006, Jamie Oliver was doing a very big sort of push in stores
yeah.
in schools around yeah. Healthy kids meals. And he was saying, look, you know, this is what we're feeding, you know, the kids of the nation, you know, these turkey Twizzlers. And it's, you know, there's so much evidence about what you feed kids at an early age
yeah.
and how it impacts their, you know, physical health, their mental yeah. health, their performance in school, all of these things. And it was really, you know, the statistics were really not great. I think it was maybe 1 out of 4 kids were going to school obese at the age of 5. And so, you know, the other thing I think that we were hoping to do is to make a positive difference in children's nutrition and to really, you know, hope that the next generation of kids would be healthier if because it's hard to juggle a zillion
yeah.
things. And so if we could bring something that was truly healthy into the supermarkets, that would be, you know, hopefully make a positive difference.
And allowing parents to have that option because it sounds
Correct.
Like it wasn't really available.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that I learned with my own kids is that, and they became our sort of chief tasters, was that it didn't really matter how healthy something was. If your kids didn't eat it, kind of who
yeah.
cares?
Yeah.
And so from the very beginning, it was really around this sort of taste testing. So my two were what we called our chief tasters. They tasted everything
that.
Back in the day. But now we actually have 200 kids, I think, across the country. Your kids are part of the tasting panel. And that, I think, is something today's parent in particular, they want something that their child is going to eat.
Yeah, of course.
And it's great that it's healthy as well, but that's something that's really important,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
I guess, yeah, like you say, it's got to be the number one because
yeah.
if it's not eaten,
yeah. Yeah.
It can be as healthy
yes.
as it can be. But
yes.
yeah.
Yes.
So I love that you have like the taste tester panel. It's just such a wonderful thing. And how does that feedback work? Do you send it out and then you get feedback back
yes.
from the kids and you
and go the
based
parents,
on
and both.
The parents.
Yeah. So we have a questionnaire that goes to both and or it goes to the parent and they fill out, this is what my child thought, this is what I thought.
Mm.
And it's really valuable feedback because you know, it helps us perfect the recipes. And we've been doing this now for nearly 20 years.
I think that's such an important element. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who don't do that. But actually on that note, you know, this is quite a big question, but there are a lot of options out there that aren't necessarily, you know, as nutritionally considered, let's say, as Little Dish meals. And there's been a lot of press around
this topic
at the moment. How do you feel that as a brand, you are able to cut through some of that noise and I guess do the right thing the whole time, as well as trying to keep parents' trust? Because it's quite a lot on the shoulders of a brand to be doing that, you know, doing the right thing, trying to make sure that your kind of brand isn't tarnished with others, but at the same time, maintaining that trust.
I think, well, first of all, that was one of the reasons that I wanted to set up the company was because, you know, I thought that some of the options out there, you know, were okay every now and again, but something that maybe you wouldn't want to feed your child on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And I think for us, we've been very focused from the very beginning on the quality of ingredients, on the freshness. And we've, you know, gotten better and better over time at retaining the nutrients, the kid testing, making sure that it tastes great. And then I think there's this real transparency behind the brand. And you know, this is what you brought up before. I mean, again, it's not about who set up the brand. It's about that it was set up by a mother and now a team of parents who really, you know, care about feeding their kids good, delicious, convenient food that tastes great. And I think what we've tried to do from the very beginning is just be very transparent about what's in the meal. Right now, you know, you can go to our website. You can download the recipes. You can make them at home.
But which I think a lot of people don't know, which is incredible.
I mean, it's or on the nights where maybe you don't have time to cook them, you can buy them in the supermarkets. But I think it's just giving that assurance that this is something like you would cook in your own home.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. Honestly, incredible. And can I ask a bit of a random one? But, you know, you mentioned earlier on about you're from America.
Yeah.
How do you feel like it differs in America? So, for example, like, I know you do visit there every now and then. Yes. What's the offering there? Is it really different how kids are being fed, young kids are being fed in America versus here?
I think so. I think, you know, I would say this sort of... you know, obviously people in America love to cook as well, but there seems to be the convenient food options. There's a lot of it out there.
Yeah.
But I don't know that anything like this exists in America right now. Mm-hmm. This idea of, I mean, first of all, the, you know, we feel so proud of Little Dish because it's fresh and it's kept in the fridge. And in America, you really don't have that sort of sophisticated chilled distribution system. So here, this is a small country, these chilled kitchens, the large scale industrial kitchens are the best at making fresh, chilled, safe, nutritious meals. Whereas in the U.S., it tends to be more frozen, maybe because it's such a big country. And here, you know, we can make it and then it can be on the shelf, you know, whereas in America, you would make it and then it needs to go into this sort of distribution system and then it needs to get into a depot. And then by the time it gets on shelf, it's so as a result, there's not as many fresh offerings.
Okay, that's really good to know. And I mean, what you've done here, I think, again, going back to what you said already, is it sounds like what really matters is your initial concept, like what you created it for, has stayed true the entire time. And I think that's really fascinating because the brand's grown 20 years on.
Yes.
Still the same.
But I think the difference, so yes, from the very beginning, there was a sort of like purpose behind our brand around, you know, wouldn't it be great to change the children's food industry for the better and make a positive difference in children's nutrition and give families all over the country a, you know, truly nutritious, convenient option. But we didn't really talk about that to consumers, to be honest. I mean, we talked about it to the supermarkets because they also felt a very, I think a responsibility to bring healthy food to families. But what has been very interesting over these, you know, almost 20 years is how consumers now and shoppers really respond to purpose-led brands, you know, and we've always had a purpose. We just didn't maybe talk about it as much. And I think also what we've done over time is really tried to stay in touch with the shopper, the mother of the young child. So I'm not that person anymore. I have an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old. But what we know right now, what mothers want more than anything is stress-free mealtimes. You know, they want something that is healthy, that is their child will eat, that will, you know, at the end of the day, make those mealtimes easier for them. And that's been something that we've been very focused on. But at the same time, hopefully by bringing that, you know, range of healthy food to, you know, now we're in all the supermarkets across the country to families, you know, is great. And then we also work now with the Felix Project.
Oh yeah.
Which is I think another really core thing about the purpose behind the brand. So at first it was, okay, well, we started in sort of a handful of shops in 2006. And then over time, you know, first we started in Waitrose and then Tesco and then Sainsbury's and then Asda and Morrison's. And so now we're across the country. But then I think we started working with them in 2023, we started to think about the, if we're really going to make a positive difference, what about the families that can't buy us in the supermarket. Mm-hmm. And this was right after COVID and the cost of living crisis. And so now we work with the Felix Project to bring meals to families, you know, who are struggling with the cost of living crisis. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it is such an incredible campaign. And they're such a great team working with the Felix Project.
It really lovely, is. I know, because you've worked with us on that.
Yeah, love that. For anyone who doesn't know, do you want to tell us a little bit about the Felix Project?
So the Felix Project is this amazing charity that does two things. Number one, it feeds families in need in London and through their partners throughout the country. Mm. But also it helps minimize food waste. And so it's got this really, you know, great formula of taking food that would otherwise be wasted and distributing it to families who need it. And that's, and so then we started to work with them and we donated a lot of meals to families in need. But I think the thing that we're most excited about with that partnership is that we actually created a special recipe, a little dish Felix Project recipe, the mac and cheese that had two portions of veg. And for every a little dish Felix mac and cheese that was sold in the store, it was buy one, give one. So if a mother bought that, then we would then feed a child in need. Love and it was kind of a spinoff, you know, you buy one, get one free. But this was buy one, give one. Yeah. And I do think that sometimes with charitable partnerships, it can be a bit confusing for consumers. You know, they're thinking, I'll say, oh, we donate 5% of blah, blah, blah. This was really trying to kind of crystallize it in their mind to say, if you buy this, you will be feeding a child in need. And it became one of our best-selling SKUs. And it was, I think, you know, we know this as mothers, there's probably nothing more distressing to think about a parent who is struggling to feed their child. And I think it really, it was just great to see our community really rise up and get behind this recipe.
It was amazing. Yeah. And it's so lovely to see a brand who really cares and who does things like that to make a big impact, because you don't always get brands doing that. And I just loved it. I thought it was a fantastic campaign. And I think you're still working with the Felix Project this year as well.
Yeah, so I think we've donated over 500,000 meals. And, you know, in the beginning, we started working with them on a sort of a project, but it's just now become a multi-year partnership and sort of a major part of our brand and you know, I'd say our for the next, we'll keep doing it for the next couple of years.
And anything else that you're working on at the moment? So any other projects that you've got going on that are exciting?
Yes, we've got a couple of things. So we've got, so Little Dish is our core, and that's for age, you know, sort of one to, let's say, five. But we've launched Big Dish, which is bigger portions for the bigger kids.
Me. Yes, I've been eating lots of the Big Dish meals.
And also we have launched what we like to call the best chicken nugget in the world because it really, I mean, I, you know, we all know about chicken nuggets and kids love chicken nuggets and, you know, you buy them because they love them, but you never really feel great about it. And we have developed this really terrific chicken nugget that has cauliflower in it. So it's includes hidden veg. You don't know it's in there. Kids love it. Back to the taste testers, this got the highest score of any taste testing that we've ever done. And so that's just launched on Ocado, and it's going into Tesco in September. So that's in the frozen aisle. So that's kind of exciting. So we're in, you know, you can find Little Dish and Big Dish in the chilled aisle of the supermarkets, which you don't necessarily know to go there, but that's where it is. And then the chicken nuggets are in the frozen aisle.
Nice. I love it. It's very exciting. And backtracking a bit, because this is something I do want to ask you about, because I'm really fascinated by it myself. Challenges.
Yes.
You know, all of this that we've been talking about, it all sounds, you know, easy. But I imagine, and I know, because I've worked with multiple brands and I know how, you know, tricky it can be to do all of this, to get it all right. And, you know, what can you talk about what challenges that you had at the start, but maybe also some that you still may be facing today with creating healthy food that goes out to lots and lots of people throughout the UK?
Well, I think from the very beginning, we were really focused on getting the recipes right and then just continuing to perfect and to perfect and perfect and hopefully, you know, just get we wanted our sort of tasting scores to continue to get better and better and better so people can feel quite confident about that. I think probably the biggest challenge we had, and today, and it still is really to this day, is that people don't know sometimes that this category exists. And they certainly didn't when we launched in 2006. So most mothers will go into the store, they'll go to the baby aisle because that's where you go to get all of your stuff. And you wouldn't necessarily know that there's a chilled and a fresh option. And so I think that's been from the, you know, day one, making sure that people know about the category, know about the brand. And, you know, in the early days, we really didn't have any, you know, marketing budget to speak of. So we really sort of, you know, relied on mothers telling other mothers about it. But that is probably our biggest challenge today is that people don't know. People don't know. And then maybe if they've heard of us, they're not 100% sure where to find us. Mm-hmm. So it's about kind of, you know, and you've been so helpful with this and with your videos around, you get to the store and this is where you go. You go to the chilled meals aisle and there it is. So I think, you know, that was an early challenge. It still continues to be, but we're, you know, now we're trying to get the word out. And
Definitely. Yeah. And hopefully supermarkets as well will help with that. Cause I mean, it's beneficial for them. I think a lot of supermarkets are wanting to produce and provide and be seen to be kind of promoting healthier options for families as well. So hopefully the supermarkets will get behind it as well. Have you ever had challenges with, you know, having your products in supermarkets?
Definitely. I would say I think it would be very surprising to find a UK food brand who hasn't had a challenge or two with the UK supermarkets. They can be, you know, they can be quite supportive and they can be quite challenging to work with, depending on who you're working with at the particular supermarket. But I think one of the things that's been helpful to us and has really kind of helped get some momentum behind everything is the fact that they do feel a certain responsibility around, you know, helping families feed their kids healthy food. And because we do tick all of those boxes and we are truly healthy and very nutritious and then we put all of this effort into taste, that has been helpful.
That's really good to know. And I agree. I've seen that a lot, I think, as well. I wanted to ask you about, first of all, like your experience of feeding your two children. I think a lot of families will want to know like how you found the feeding process, whether it was cooking and providing healthy food or just like general, you know, fussy eating, food refusal. Were you in the thick of that too when they were younger?
I mean, my kids were better eaters when they were little, I would say, because we love food and we were cooking all the time and they got really into cooking. And I, you know, you'll know this too, like when your kids are cooking with you, they generally want to try things. And so I feel like they were really good eaters. My big challenge has been more the teenage years, or even, you know, when your child goes off to school for the first time and you're, you know, so they're coming home and then they're popping into the shop and and then the junk starts to come. Because you know that's just sort of a part of life. So I found that it's as they've gotten older and they have more autonomy and independence, they're going to this is going to happen. But they're gonna sort of,
you got to let them find their
way. You got to let them find their way.
That bit terrifies me. I cannot. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to the teenage stage.
Well, I used to be really sort of down about it. They'd come home with these wrappers and I would think, oh God, this is, but then, you know, the fact is that they're growing kids and they, you know, it's sort of this 80-20 thing.
And I always say like what you do at home does matter.
Yes,
it
does. And still,
like I remember being a teenager and, you know, my parents fed me really healthy food. And I remember absolutely in secondary school rebelling.
Yes.
When I go to a friend's house and they had, you know, white bread and orange squash, I thought I was right in there.
No, so I agree.
And after school, like you say, if you've got a bit of pocket money and you're buying Space Invaders and things that my parents would have been so livid at me buying. But I think you have to kind of go through that phase when you're a teenager anyway. And
you do.
You know, I love food. So I came out the other side and I went to university and I had to learn to cook. And I lived with a friend who was a vegan. And so, you know, we like experimented with food when we were there. And then you just learn. I think what happens at home really does matter in those early years. Okay, a couple of questions now before we do wrap up. What do you wish more parents knew when it came to actually buying kids' food? So you're in a supermarket, you're looking at the aisle, you're feeling overwhelmed. What wisdom would you like to impart to those parents right there and then?
That's a good question. I think you can always look at the ingredients list. Mm-hmm. And I think there's certain ingredients that you probably want to stay away from. Mm-hmm. You know, anything that you don't recognize. I mean, that's kind of how I would say it. And it has gotten better, I think. Mm-hmm. There are a lot more options where you're reading through and you think, I recognize all of those.
Yeah.
All of those ingredients would be in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good place to start. You know, our big campaign is letting people know that there is something. If you're in this particular age group, you know, you don't just have to buy from the long life section. You can go into the chilled section and know that there's a fresh alternative. But I think as you are shopping around and you are buying something that comes in a package, it's always great just to double check the ingredients.
Okay. Love that. So you've told us about the new frozen line, which is very exciting. And you've told us about the Felix Project work. There's also something else that you've been working on at the moment, which actually is so lovely because I think it resonates so well with parents. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
So this is our marketing campaign, our very first one, Above the Line. Very exciting. We've got posters all over the tube stations and train stations. And the campaign is guaranteed to be eaten by kids, asterisks. and the asterisks, you know, down at the bottom, it'll be things like as long as it's on the pink plate or as long as they're wearing their wellies or whatever. And all of these actually came from the community because we were saying, tell us your funniest stories. Because we all know, and that I think is the play on guaranteed to be eaten by kids, asterisk. So it's, you know, if you're going for guarantees, this is probably as good as you're going to get because we did kid test it and kids do love it. But we all know that there's that night that it doesn't always go to plan. And it's really, I think, this sort of connection that we have with our community and sort of the humor behind it. And so they continue to send us actually these great examples of, you know, I have to be wearing this or I have to be doing this dance or, you know, sometimes we have to sing this song or sometimes he has to have his brother's fork or whatever it is. And it's, you know, kind of a...
It's so lovely because I think it's so relatable. So many parents are going to be like, I totally resonate with that. I think there was one person who said something about lining up. All of the toy animals need to be lined up and then in order they have to be fed one at a time.
Right.
And honestly, it's just so relatable because it's so real. We've all been there.
Yes, I think one of them was as long as she gets to feed Teddy as well, you know.
Yeah, so, Teddy at the same time. Yeah. And we've all been there. We've all had those moments where we're just like, I just need this to go well. And you end up doing something that then ends up becoming every single day. That's how we approach our mealtime. And I just think with parents, we just, first of all, we need some lightheartedness.
Yes.
Second of all, we need to be like, oh yeah, me too. You know, I just love it. I think it's a great campaign and I really hope it does very well for us. So, I think that's everything. I'm so grateful for you being here. But before you go, I'm just going to do a very quick fire round. Okay. How are you feeling about that?
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. Right. Here we go. If you had to pick one, what is your favorite little dish meal?
Well, I love them all, but I'm probably going to go spaghetti and meatballs because that is the one that is the family favorite and is in the fridge sort of at all times.
Okay, got it. Of course, I have to say lasagna.
Yes. I do love lasagna, actually. That's delicious,
If you could do it all again, would you do it just the same or would you do anything differently?
I think everyone probably in hindsight can look back and say, maybe we could have done this and this. But I am kind of a believer in que sera and things happen for a reason. And I kind of feel that the reason we are where we are is I think maybe when we launched Little Dish, we were a little bit early, to be honest, because there wasn't social media, for instance. So it was so hard to get the word out.
Yeah, of course.
But actually, we've kind of, over time, we've really organically grown as a brand. Mm. And now we're in this really lovely place where we're so happy with the product quality. What we didn't talk about, but you know about this, is we've come out of the plastic tray. We're in a wood fiber tray, which is hugely exciting, more sustainable. Our shoppers love that. And now we're at a place where we've got the resources to do a bit of marketing. And so I kind of probably would just
do it as it was.
I mean, because even when you have those, you know, challenging moments, they generally end up getting you to a stronger place.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. You learn from it all. And one tip for parents who are struggling with mealtimes.
Well, I love your tip. In fact, this is something we talk about all the time, I think, to our community or whatever, but this idea about being sort of nonchalant, you know, just around, like it's, I think there is a tendency because we all want our kids to eat and we all, you know, we all feel quite stressed if they're not eating or whatever. But I think your advice around just, you know, letting it go and not making a big deal out of it is probably the best advice that you can give anyone, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we put so much pressure on ourselves, don't we, as parents? And actually sometimes it's about stepping back and going, let's just let this ride out. Because actually the more that we try and control something, sometimes we lose that control.
I think that's exactly right.
But yeah,
right.
I love that. I love
and nonchalance. Not being worried, because I would remember if my child didn't have dinner, you'd feel kind of like really panicked in a way. And actually, at the end of the day, it's totally fine.
Yeah. It's one meal on one day or one occasion.
Yeah. And the less deal you make of it, then everything is going to be smoother.
Yes. I love that. This is it. Done. No more messages for the parents. Thank you so much, Hilary. This has been wonderful. It's been so great to learn a bit about your brand. And I think inspirational as well for parents who are, you know, maybe have their own ideas about something they want to do or create or change. I just think that inspiration is what a lot of us need as parents, especially in the thick of it. So thank you for talking us through it. It's been really fascinating. And thank you for having me here.
Great to have you here as always.
That's it for today's episode of How to Feed. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Hilary as much as I did. It was so inspiring to hear how Little Dish was born out of a genuine passion to help families and how Hilary has stayed so committed to providing nutritious and accessible food for little ones. So later on this week, I'll be diving into a topic that comes up all the time. What to feed your little ones when you're low on time, low on energy and in need of something quick. I'll be talking through the kinds of foods and store cupboard staples worth keeping on hand and what to look for when buying ready-made options, as well as how to make sure your child's meals are still nutritionally balanced, even on those busiest days. Thanks, as always, for tuning in to How to Feed with Charlotte Sterling Reid, brought to you with support from Little Dish, and a big shout out to them for hosting us in their gorgeous offices too. If you enjoyed today's episode, please do subscribe, share it with a friend, or leave a quick review. It really, really means a lot. This episode of How to Feed wouldn't have been possible without my sponsors, Little Dish. Their meals are fresh, delicious, and made with ingredients that you would find in your own kitchen, making them a brilliant option for busy days.